So here we are, Daf Bei Amud Beis. Let's see where we got up to. If you see the wide line, so we're going to take a look at the third of the wide lines. Ashkechan Asiya Zechira Minah Minah. So basically, up to this point, we should establish that there's a difference between the 14th and the 15th. And those who are in the unwalled cities will celebrate Purim on the 14th. Those who are in the walled cities will celebrate Purim on the 15th. So the Gemara says that if you analyze the pasuk carefully, the pasuk is referring to Asiya. Because the pasuk says, "Hayehudim aprozim osim es yom arvos." So the emphasis is on Asiya. And Asiya refers to Simcha and Mishkev. But Zechira, no. Zechira, what Zechira means, there's no indication in the Pesukim that with regard to Kriyas HaMegillah, there are these two set dates. And it would seem that in the Havanah and the Gemara, at this point, everybody should be reading the Megillah on the same day. Yesterday, we were wondering back and forth which day would be, whether it be the 14th or the 15th. So I looked over Rashi. There's a Rashi, Rashi says, first he says, Zechira means Kriyas HaMegillah. Then he says, Minolon Shenikba Lahem. So I thought Lahem means for all of the Jews, meaning, how do we know that there were two separate days? Maybe there's only one day. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Minayin Shenikba Lahem So I don't know, maybe again you could push in that maybe Rashi means how do we know that the 14th is dedicated exclusively to the prozim, maybe the 14th is dedicated to everybody, but that's not the simple reading of Rashi. Rashi seems to indicate that how do we know, even though we know that the prozim will celebrate Asiya Simcha Mishkan on the 14th, but how do we know that their time for Kriyas HaMegillah is on the 14th? And if that's the way you have to read Rashi, the implication is that in this Havanah they should be reading it on the 15th. Meaning, one thing is clear from the Gemara, that in this Havamina, everybody should be reading the Megillah on the same day. And the whole Chiluz between 14 and 15 is only relevant to Asiya. But which day would be the top day, the best candidate for Zechira, for both the Krochim and the Prozim, that it doesn't say. But from Rashi, I seem to, again, you'll read the Rashi on your own, you'll tell me what you think, but I get the impression from Rashi that the day for Kriyas HaMegillah would be united for everybody would be the 15th.
I mean, here in the footnote, the reference is to Rashi, and in the Gemara, Minolan Shemekrovim, Laprozim, Beyud Dal, Maria Pasuk, Al Kain, Osin Asim of Arbosa, Muskadak Asir.
I think he's saying, again, I can't vouch for this, but that the day would be the 15th. I'm not sure why the 15th, if this is the right reading of Rashi, would be a better candidate for Kriyas HaMegillah than the 14th one.
And afterwards, as
we had a Havamina that maybe even the 13th could be a candidate for Kriyas HaMegillah. But that Havamina we were rejecting.
So,
together means we should wait for the last. I don't know. But I definitely agree with you, Asher, that the Havamin is that we should all be reading it together. Yesterday we quoted the Pasuk Barol Mahalach
Shnoah. And they knew he was.
But what comes out again, fascinating, and good is Havamin, and we've touched on this in the past, is that Asir and Schira are two separate beings. And you can have one day for Hupla, as I call it, for celebrating, and another day for Kriya Sabinua.
That's why it makes sense to do the Schira together.
It's clear that they have to justify.
Right, if Schira now becomes a separate independent mitzvah, it's not generated by the day in the Havamin. Then let's read the Megillah together as one.
So all they have to do is to find some reason why he should be capital punishment. They found two reasons. One, he was blasphemous to
God.
And the second was,
got to be Barov Ram. We have to be united in that battle against
him. According to the fact that he was a Yorishim, that's why, and because they had the Yorishim and not the Melech.
This I don't know.
Why did they have to go out of their way?
The corruption can't do
it.
I don't know if you're right. I think the main two points to emphasize are, first, the point that you made, Usher, that in the Havamina, everybody should be reading on the same day. And secondly, the point that I want to harbor is that in the Havamina, Zechira is a separate independent mitzvah.
Then I was thinking to myself, what generates
the theme of Zechira? As far as I see is concerned, let's call it the Yom HaNukha. So the Yom HaNukha splits into two. For the Buzz and Yom HaNukha is on the 14th, and for the Krachim is on the 15th. As far as Hatzolah is concerned, it could be that all of Christ Yisrael are facing the following danger, and that's the Zera
Mahashverosh.
And therefore, if we read the Megillah to publicize that God intervened in Jewish history, in world history, I should say, in order to save Israel from the Zera, that all of the people of Israel are equally faced by the same Zera and equally required to thank Hashem,
if you want to tell me that the miracle is there in order
now,
for him.
Again, I would have said personally that the 14th would be a better candidate. Rashi doesn't say that. But be that as it may, we're joining Klal Yisrael together. Because again, now that Kriya Sabinua is independent of the day,
all you need then is our
independent of the day,
then as blasphemy.
Therefore, it could be
they wanted to pile it on.
That it's a new Mechayev. And the Mechayev that generates the theme is not related to the day of Purim, it's a day of celebration, which is totally Yom HaNukha. But rather, it's totally in Hatzol of Klal Yisrael. We talk about Hatzol of Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael are saved.
I heard
on a different day, I heard on the day of the feast, where
maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, but nonetheless, it was a blasphemer. So he got it anyway.
Or you could say it occurred on the 23rd of Sivan when they sent out the new decrees.
It's a lot of candidates. But I thought that once Klal Yisrael went out to battle, maybe that was the day. Okay, I don't know. You're right. But be that as it may, it comes out that the Mechayev of Megillah is not Purim. And the reason I say this is because later on when we get to a Meiri, the Meiri says on Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi on Daf Dalet says that you have to read the Megillah twice, once by day and once by night. So the Meiri says that before Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, they only read the Megillah by day. And he was Mechadish, a new Kriya at night. And he says that's not the Kriya of Purim. And that Purim is by day. So it's interesting because. Yeah, so it could be that what's going on over here is that, you know, that Megillah could be a separate entity. According to the Meiri, the day of Purim, for all of its use, is with daybreak, and yet we read the Megillah at night. So that Kriya Samegillah at night, according to the Meiri, is not generated by the day of Purim.
Why did he go through such?
And I think our Havamina would be a great support for that distinction, and say that Megillah is a separate independent Meiri, not generated by the day itself. So you could have a Kriya which is not Yom HaPurim. And what other raya could we bring?
From the
Kfarim.
The Mishnah supports that.
Exactly.
They're not because, coming the night before.
Correct, because Kfarim, I'm going to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, and then they can come home, and they're going to celebrate Purim on Yud Aleph 3 days later. So once again, you see that Kriyas HaMegillah is a separate chiyuv unto itself. So Mimele, if it's a separate chiyuv, we want to join all of Klal Yisrael together. I don't know. See, it'd be fascinating to think. According to his Halam, what about the Kfarim? The Bnei HaKfar, maybe that itself is a different deal. That even though Klal Yisrael should be reciting the Megillah simultaneously in a unity, but nevertheless, as far as the Kfar, we have to make an exception. Of course, the Yom HaKnis, I don't know.
Because they have to actually
they were killing him.
Right, because otherwise they have no option. But as far as Gans Klal Yisrael, with the exception of the Kfarim, we're going to have one united Kriya Samegillah. Well, it reminds me to go by Sukkah. The Gemara says, "Kol Ez Yisrael Peyeshu Basukkah." It's Malavin Shekol Yisrael Yoshu Basukkah.
Really, actually, it could be that they say instead of you're all read together, but once they make it, once they split the rising from
order that
crossing, then they allow the
private tax shelter.
In other words, the idea may have been originally, and then.
It wouldn't kill me if I would have to say that even in this halab, the kfarim would come in on Yom HaKnis. So that's a separate dispensation that we made for the kfarim. And again, especially if we see that the Kriyas HaMegillah is a separate entity. Now the question is how to learn the maskon. So the more answers, Omar Krav, Ayonim, Ha'ilev, he's part of the Nasim, and in the end of the pasuk is Bechol Dor V'Dor. So we have both Zechira and Asiyah written in one breath. Iskash, Zechira, Asiyah. So we now have a hekesh between Zechira and Asiyah. Now, one way I think, which would be a very nice way of learning this Gemara, is that the Hekesh is telling us that Kriyas HaMegillah is not a separate, independent chiyuv, a mitzvah unto itself, but it's generated by the day. So, since we have an Asiya two different days, right? For you guys, you have Yudal, for us guys, we have Yudal Tesfah. So, therefore, the Megillah also, the Mela will be on two separate days. That's one way of learning the Gemara. The other way of learning the Gemara is to say that the Hekesh is teaching me a technicality that when should the Megillah be read and when should the obligation to read it be organized? It should be organized in conjunction with Asiyah. No, it's more of a mechanical halakha. It could be, after this hekesh, we can accept the principle that Kriyas HaMegillah could be a separate, independent chiyuv. But we want to connect it to the day of Purim for technical reasons. We don't. When we're all in the mood for Purim and we're celebrating Purim and we're commemorating the miracle, that's when we want to read the Megillah.
Makes sense.
Just make sure you're getting drunk after you read the Megillah, but not before you read the Megillah. Well, I would have liked to have a Megillah that Megillah is on a separate day, because sometimes I find personally that Purim is too over. It's overstacked with mitzvahs. It's like, I find that Purim has a certain pressure to it. You want to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah, especially, I don't know, in your minute, how many mishloach matzos you give? We're going to learn technically that all you have to give is one, but...
There's four mitzvahs to Mikra, Kibbo Amur, right? But the mishloach manoah, the mitzvahs, if you leave, you're writing checks, you're making deposits, you're money that takes it, doesn't
it? Right, but the question is mishloach manoah.
That sends us running.
That's what I'm telling you, it's not mishloach, you can drive yourself absolutely nuts if you decide that you have to do mishloach manoah. It's the one day of the year where you have to go all out. So you come to my living room, for example, you see it's a very big pressure, and for my wife it's a tremendous pressure because she has to hear the Megillah, right? Imagine you Dafka on Purim, you go into Vasikin, it's a funny kind of paradox. Purim maybe would be the day you want to sleep in a little bit later, it's a day of Mishnah and Simcha. Okay, now we start the Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karmi. That's what we're up to. So the Gemara says, Masnisim Deloki Haitan. Our Mishnah represents the opinion of a Tana who would disagree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha Omer, Krachim Hamukafim Choma Mimosach Hashverosh. So let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Krachim Hamukafim Choma Mimosach Hashverosh. And the Ramban, as we mentioned many times in his introduction, gives a whole explanation why we go back to Yishuv ben Yud, and that's Lechvodah Shal Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha is not operating with that premise. He's operating with the premise that the miracle took place at the time of Achashverosh. So let's analyze the 15th of Nisan, the 15th of Adar, from the perspective of Achashverosh. Why go back in time to the period of Yishuv ben Nun?
A better question: why different? What does it matter if it's tell him what was the significance of the wall?
Zil Amalei. I get the answer.
So okay, fine.
I got it.
My question is
stronger. Hit it with your choice.
What do you contemplate? A walled city or not a walled city to celebrate a day, to celebrate a
miracle. Okay. We'll have to get to
that. What did the wall do? What did the wall serve?
It was really only Shushan that had the extra day.
Because they had an extra.
They didn't say all wall. They didn't differentiate between the other cities.
Yeah, it's even better. So the question's even better. But, anyways,
what's that?
So let's just calculate two nafkaminas. I think we mentioned this yesterday. Let's go over this again. The first nafkamina between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha is going to be a city that was not Mukaf Choma at the time of Yishuv ben Nun, but it was Mukaf Choma at the time of Achashverosh. According to our Mishnah, if it wasn't Mukaf at the time of Yishuv ben Nun, then it's not included in Tesva. According to Rabbi Shimon Levi, since it was Mukaf at the time of Achashverosh, that it would be included in Tesva. Then we could have the flip side, another nafkamina, number two. What would be with the city that was Mukaf at the time of Achashverosh, but the walls fall down before Achashverosh? At the moment of Achashverosh, it's a Parus. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon Karcha, it would not have a status of a Mukaf, according to our Mishnah, since it was Mukaf back in the day, the has the status of Mukaf Choma as far as Tesvav is
concerned. That makes a lot of sense, by the way, because in the Megillat it says the presence of the present is celebrated on the 14th. And it doesn't seem to make it. I mean, the people at that time who were in a city that had a wall hundreds of years before, and now it doesn't.
Ah, I see.
Probably if you're going to kill him when that first comes out.
If we base ourselves on the original celebration, meaning, and we've spoken about this in the past, it's the first Purim that's going to set in stone the pattern for all generations to come, then Yeshua could make sense, because at that time, the distinction between, which the Megillah makes between all of Klal Yisrael and Shushan, is a distinction between a Mukaf Choma and a non-Mukaf Choma. So everything should be equated to Shushan. And that's what the Gemara is going to say now. My time under Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, Ki Shushan. We have this equation to Shushan. Ma Shushan Mukaf Choma Mosach HaShverosh. And here Rashi is going to say something about the status of Shushan back at the time of Yishuv ben Nun. We'll get to that Rashi in just a minute. Vikorin Bechamisha Sar, and we know that in Shushan they read the Megillah on the 15th. Is Af Kol Mukefes Chomi Mosaf Hashverosh Korin Bechamisha Sar. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the Gemara says, is flexing this principle called Kishushan. Now keep in mind, we already had this principle of Kishushan earlier. The Gemara in the Havamina that a krach that's walled should be reading the Megillah on the 13th of Adar, and Mor says no Kishushan. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha is applying that same logic of Kishushan, that the status of a krach is an extension of Kishushan to this halacha of when was the wall surrounding the city, and we have to go back to Shushan. So any city that had a wall at the time of Shushan is Kishushan, and therefore it's included in the 15th. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, So now the Gemara is going to go back and defend the Tana of our Mishnah, the Tana of Bidan, my timer. Why doesn't he accept this logic? Yol is prozi, prozi. Here's another equation, or Gzeir Shav if you want to say. And that is prozi, prozi. So there's a parsha in Sefer Dvarim.
All right.
Where so Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the protection that God gives to the people of Israel. Here in the Megillah it says, "Sivcha kainayudim aprozim," but the word "prozim" appears elsewhere, back in the Torah itself, "Sivchasam." That Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people of Israel that when they come into the land, I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, "Kol ele orim b'tziros choma gvod lasayim uvriyah." Levadni Ori Aprozi Harbi Vyog. It's Moshe Rabbeinu says we've captured Sichon V'Og, two major nations, and they sat or they dwelled in Orim Bitsuros Choma, etc., etc. Very dramatic description of these cities that they conquered in Sichon V'Og that were very well fortified with walls. And then Moshe Rabbeinu adds that besides those big walled cities that we conquered, we also conquered Orim HaProzim, Harbi Miot, many of them. So what does this word Prozim mean? The answer is that it's not a walled city, because the ratio, the first part of this pasuk is referring to Orim Bitsuros Choma. They were very fortified with a wall. And now we're excluding Ore Prozim, which were also conquered, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to emphasize that. So the Prozi is in contrast to the Betzuros Choma. It must be that Betzura, that Prozi means that it is unreal. It's Malah, and just like in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Prozi means what? That it was unwalled at the time of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, a process which began with Moshe Rabbeinu and was continued and reached its climax with Yoshua ben Nun. So that's a Gemara called to be most Yoshua ben Nun. Again, technically, we're talking about Mimos Moshe Rabbeinu. But since the Iker Kibush was done by Yoshua, therefore he calls it Mimos Yoshua ben Nun. Now, Lu Yitzur, if there was a city that was walled at the time Moshe, and was not walled at the time of Yoshua, if there was such a Mitzvah, I don't know where that would fit in this pasuk. But he says, Afkan here too, the word Prozim in the pasuk in Megillah, where it says, Al Kena Yehudim HaProzim, is referring to Prozim Mimos Yoshua ben Nun. So the criterion here and the determining factor is what went on at the time, what was the status of the city at the time of Yeshua, at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Bishleim Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Lo Omer Kitana Dizan Dolesle, Prozi Prozi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha never accepted this approach because he never received the Gzeira Shava. We have a rule that Ein Adam Don Gzeira Shava Ben Atzmo. And that's what Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Prozi. If you see that Prozi, Lo Gomar Gzeira Shava Mi Rabbe, Ilo Gomar Gzeira Shava Gadi, Ein Adam Don Gzeira Shava Mi Atzmo, El Kein Kilo Mi Rabbe. Just give me a few minutes of those, because I see that we haven't even... Okay, just to get... So Lo Omer Ketana Nidad, the less lay Prozi Prozi, he never received this Gzeira Shava. And therefore he operates only with Mitzad Asmara. He's operating within the framework of logic. And he thinks that when Anshin Pesach Gol established that the city of Shushan should observe Purim on the 15th, read the Megillah on the 15th. Why? Because Shushan is Mukefes Choma. So if we want to make the distinction between the 14th and the 15th, our paradigm, our primary example should be what? Should be Shushan. And Shushan is now a walled city. So any walled city that's similar to Shushan, namely it's walled at the time of Shushan, at the time of the miracle, will read the Megillah on the 15th. El Tana Didan my time over Omar Kirby Shuben Kar. This Gemara makes no sense. So Gemara right away attacks. What do you mean my time? He just finished saying that Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha did not accept the Gzeir Shav, but the Mishnah, the Tanavat Mishnah accepted the Gzeir Shav. The Islay Prozi, Prozi has the Gzeir Shav. So what were you asking? This is what I meant to ask. I can understand the according to Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, who says that the din of Mukaf is set in stone at the time of Achashverosh. So we understand that Shushan, since they celebrated the day of Purim on Tesvav, because it was Mukefas Choma at the time of the miracle, that makes sense. So I understand why Shushan should be reading the Megillah for all generations to come on the 15th. Ella, but according to our Tana, who operates within the framework of Gezeira Shava, is Shushan itself the Avda Kiman? Shushan doesn't fit into any pattern. Why? Because you're telling me that the pattern of the 15th is based on Yoshua ben Nun. And Shushan, in fact, was Mukefes Choma at the time of Achashverosh. But, and here's this is the tricky point here, but let's assume, okay, we'll see Rashi in a second, that Shushan was not walled at the time of Yoshua. If Shushan is not a walled city at the time of Yoshua, according to the pattern of that Mishnah, it doesn't meet the criterion of a krach that should be reading the Megillah on the 15th. And this would be a very paradoxal situation where you've established that Shushan should read the Megillah on the 15th, when according to your principles, based on Yoshua ben Nun, Shushan, assuming it wasn't a walled city at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, should not be reading the Megillah on the 15th. And Shushan itself should be reading the Megillah on the 14th. Now here, I don't know exactly, you know, the Mefarshim have two approaches here. I don't know if the Gemara means that Shushan, even on the first Purim, would not be. I mean, the Gemara is going to now obviously mention the Ness, the miracle was in Shushan one day later. But in any event, as far as all the generations to come, and now here is a Girsa problem. The Gemara adds four words here. Now the Mefarshim say Rashi didn't have these four words, but in our text of the Gemara it says lo kiprozim velo kimukafim, which means that Shushan has a very perplexing status. On the one hand, Shushan is the paradigm of a mukaf, right? Because Shushan is certainly surrounded by a wall, and that's why Shushan indeed had a different day of Purim. But it's lo kiprozim, meaning on the other hand, you're telling me that it really shouldn't be a mukaf. You're telling me it reads the Megillah on the 15th when it's not really a mukaf. So lo kiprozim means that you didn't give it the status of prozim to read the Megillah on the 14th in Shushan, despite the fact that lo kimukafim, it's really not like a mukaf, because it wasn't mukaf there the Amosi Yoshua ben Nun. Now, is it really true that, I mean, how does the Lord know that Shushan was not Mukaf back at the time of Yeshua ben Nun? Is there some sort of Mesoras for that? So if you look at Rashi himself says the following, Hachi Kamerel, Shushan di Avda Kiman, I Alfi Yonach Zer Shava, Heich Asu Osan Sheb Shushan B'Tesuvah. It's very interesting. Rashi seems to assume that the Gemara's Kasha is even attacking the original Ness. That's the impression you get. Because he's talking about the people who commemorated Purim back in Shushan on the 15th. It sounds like he's referring back to the time of the Ness. I don't know. That makes the Gemara's answer even more basic, almost more simple in that sense. I would think the Gemara is going to give a more sophisticated answer. That's a big chiddush as far as Shushan Lidoros, but there was no question about Shushan in that particular year. They got the directive, because they were involved in the war, to postpone the Purim for one day. The assumption of the Gemara's question is that according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, the status of Shushan is that of a Paros. Why is that so? Says Rashi, V'lo yad'inan bo shehuk for mimos Yoshua. Rashi is saying we don't know whether or not historically Shushan, back at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, it was a walled city. The Rambam says that we know, I don't know how we know, that Shushan was not a walled city at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Rashi says we don't know.
But if you do,
so the whole the predicate of this kasha, the Gemara, is that since it's possible, although we don't know for sure, that Shushan was an unwalled city,
the
Gemara is asking a kind of a conditional question. If I were to assume, which I don't know, Rashi says one way or the other, that the possibility at least exists that Shushan was not. Yes. Was not walled at the time of the Yishuv Ben Nun, then Shushan should have a din of a parus. That's a paradox. That Shushan, which is the paradigm of a craft, to read the Megillah on the 15th, they themselves are a prozen that should be reading the Megillah on the on the 14th. But here's what I want to share with you on both sides. And I'm saying over a whole bunch of Mefarshim in one sentence. They all say that Rashi implies that if Shushan would have been a walled city at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, then what day would they read the Megillah in Shushan? 15. Rashi's saying that the reason why we can give Shushan the status of a parus is because possibly it wasn't walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. The clear cut indication or implication in Rashi is that if we would establish that Shushan was in fact walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, no doubt it would read the Megillah on the 15th. Why is that a bombastic chiddush with tremendous repercussions? The Gemara later on is going to have a sugya about Hutzal. Hutzal is a city which apparently, again, the Rabban disagrees with this, but apparently is in Chutz Laretz. I don't know where it is. We'll have to, when we get to the sugya, we'll get a map and we'll try to figure out in what country Hutzal is. And the issue is, Hutzal, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth, might be a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Now here's the deal, Rabosai, a city that was walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun in Chutz Laretz, when does it read the Megillah? That's a gavaldiger machlokus, a major debate amongst the posts, amongst the Rishonim. So let's go according to the school of thought that would maintain that the whole distinction between Mukaf Chom and Mos Yeshua, not Mukaf Chom, when you read on the 14th to 15th, is all because of Kvoda Shal Eretz Yisrael Ramban Shita. And therefore, the status of the city in Chutz Laretz, as far as Mukaf Chom is concerned, is totally irrelevant. Meaning that all cities on the face of the globe outside of the land of Israel will read on the 14th. I couldn't care less when they were Mukaf Chomer, even as early as Yehoshua ben Nun. That's one school of thought in the Rishonim in the Poskim. If you go with that Shita, then we're in trouble with this Rashi. Because Shushan is in Chutz Laretz. And yet Rashi implies that if Shushan would have been, again, I don't know which grammatical form you want to use, would have been established as a Mukaf Chomer, Mimos Yehoshua ben Nun, it would read on the 15th. But the problem is that we have a suffix about it, that maybe it was a Mukaf Choma. Is this Rashi, and that's what all of the Mefarshim want to prove from this Rashi, would maintain that the distinction between Mukaf Choma and Ein Mukaf Choma applies in Chutz Laretz just as it applies to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Hutzal, wait one second, I just want to get to the punchline, Hutzal, which more vacillates as to whether or not it was Mukaf Choma at the time Yehoshua ben Nun, was located in Chutz Laretz. Comes along the Ramban and says, nay, there were two Hutzals. There was one Hutzal in Iraq, and there was another Hutzal in Eretz Yisrael. And the Hutzal that the Gemara is vacillating about, whether it was Mukaf Chom and it reads, whether it was Mukaf Chom Tom Yishuv Minu, where it reads on the 14th or the 15th, that Hutzal was in Eretz Yisrael. And that's against this Ramban, because the Ramban clearly, I'm sorry, that's against this Rashi, because the Rashi clearly implies that even a city in Chutz Laretz, if it was walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, would be reading on the 15th.
This Gemara seems to support Rashi, though, because it doesn't. I mean, it could have just said, you know, why are you asking Shushan's in Chutz Laretz? It's just reads because of Nes. It does seem to say, well, it's like it seems to be considering this should be walled. Was it walled or not? It's saying it's not like a. So it's considering the issue of whether Shushan was walled or not.
I thought what the Gemara is vacillating about, but again, without Rashi, if you're just learning the sugi itself, right. the Gemara wants to know, how can you tell me that Shushan becomes the paradigm for the halacha of Tesvav when Shushan itself was parus? whether or not Shushan has the status of Mukaf Chomer Mos Yeshuv Ben Nun, as far as, you know, being in Chutz Lartz is concerned, that's not the Gemara's concern here. The Gemara just wants to know, how can you set up Shushan as your paradigm of Mukaf Choma when Shushan itself was not Mukaf Choma Bimos. But Rashi seems to imply, and that's where Rashi goes a step further, that the status of Shushan, whether it's a Paruz or it's a Mukaf, as far as which day it would read the Megillah on, is determined by whether or not it was Mukaf Choma at the time Yeshua Ben Nun. And that seems to indicate that even a city in Chutz Laretz, if it was Mukaf Chom at the time Yeshua Ben Nun, would be reading on the 15th. So we'll get to it when we...
One other question. This Gzeira Shava, it's... you're going... Okay, Gzeira Shava, I thought had to be... It goes back to Moshe Messina. Right. This was written... The Megillas Esther was written after. So, have you ever... I mean, are there other Gzeira Shavas that go between...
Sukkim and Tanakh? I think so. I don't have that at my fingertips, but yeah, I mean, just intuitively from my general recollection, you could have a Gzeira Shava even in Tanakh. Okay. For that, by the way, if they have a decent library here, they'll have the Encyclopedia Talmudit. But I don't know, again, this library is a little bit limited, but if you open up to the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which I use very frequently, there's a whole erech called Gzeira Shava. Oh. Amar Rava, Rava says, don't be bothered by the fact that Shushan was not walled at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. The Amri Le, others say Kiddi is the name of a Chacham. Shiny Shushan, Hoil v'nasa b'nes. In other words, we're going to change the law with regard to Shushan, and it becomes the exception to the rule that the din of reading the Megillah on Yudalid, right, which... That fundamental din that you read Megillah on Yudalid is not going to apply to Shushan Hol v'nasa b'nes. So it means that even though Shushan, you're right, technically it's not a Mukaf Choma because there was no Choma at the time of Yeshua, but since the celebration of the Nes of Purim in Shushan was on the 15th, that's when they had a Yom HaMenucha, therefore the Chazal were Koveya that the day of celebration for Shushan should be on the 15th, even though it's not Mukaf Choma. So in other words, we go back to the fact that Shushan had a Yom HaMenucha on the 15th, back in the day of Achashverosh, and therefore the Megillah says that they would celebrate Purim on the 15th. And as far as Shushan is concerned, they took upon themselves the status of a Mukaf Choma, despite the fact that technically, according to Abishta, that it's not a city that's Mukaf Choma. Bishlaim Elitana Didan, Haim Dichsiv, I'll read the whole Pasuk, Hayomim, Ha'ele, Nizkarim, V'nasim, Chaldar, V'dar, Mishpachom, Mishpacha, Medina, U'medina, V'ir, V'ir. The Gemara wants to know that this double language, Medina, U'medina, V'ir, V'ir, seems superfluous. So the answer is, according to our Mishnah, that we have two distinctions. In other words, what Mardukhai is formulating here is that there's one Medina and another Medina, and there's a contrast between the two. There's one ear and another ear, and there's a contrast between the two. Why do we need this double contrast? So the Gemara explains. We'll see you, Jerry. Medina, that distinction is lachale bein mukaf choma mimos Yeshua mukafas choma mimos achashmerosh. It's interesting that the Gemara assumes an equation between the word Medina and the krach. Right, we're talking about a krach, a very large city, and we're wondering whether or not it should read the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th. We're distinguishing between a large city that is walled and not, and that distinction is indicated by Medina u Medina. Because you and I would have said that the word Medina refers to a state, a country, a province. Lavdavka, we're talking about cities. But the Gemara wants to suggest that cities could be called could be described in Tanakh with the word Medina if they're very, very large cities, very significant municipal centers. ear for ear. Also, he has to justify the categorization of one city in contrast to another city, two different categories of cities. Nami, why? L'chalik bein Shushan l'shar ayoros. Because we're going to make the distinction between Shushan and all other cities. That means that even though technically Shushan is what? Is an ear pruza, right? Because there was no home at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Nevertheless, it has a different status. It has the same status as an ear mukefes chomi mos Yeshua, insofar as it reads in the Megillah on what? On the 15th. El Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who holds that everything depends upon Yemos HaChashverosh, which means that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, the status of Shushan is not an exception to the rule. So Bishlei Medina, that I understand, is L'chalik bein Shushan l'shar ayoros. As we only have really one distinction here, and that's between Mukaf Koma and not Mukaf Koma. That's the distinction between Shushan and other cities. El ear of ear, we might also. But why does the Megillah have to add another distinction, contrasting one city with another? And Rabbo said, we are now on the portal, on the threshold of a gigantic sugya. But Baruch Hashem, this sugya is not here; it's on Daf Gimel. So we're going to read this Gemara on a very limited level, but it's a very profound Gemara. Amar lecha Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, he's going to tell you, v'chi l'tana didan minicha, even according to the Tana of our Mishnah, goes back to the time of Yeshua, he also has a problem. Why came into Islay? He has the Xereshav of prazi, which already indicates that the status of a paruz depends upon Yeshua ben Nun. That was the whole thrust of Xereshava. So he doesn't need a distinction between two types of krachim that had a choma at the time Yeshua and krachim and not. In other words, ear for ear is enough to tell you the distinction between a city which was walled at the time Yeshua ben Nun, which is called a mukaf because of the Xereshav of prosi, and a city that wasn't mukaf. So why does he need a second distinction between Dina Lomali? Ella says the Gemara, both Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and the Chachamim of our Mishnah are going to have to use this extra distinction for something else, and that's for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. As I said, this is a very, very famous Gemara, because you have to know whether you read the Megillah here in Katamon. Where are we? Are we in Katamon? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Here in Katamon, on what day of the week should we read the Megillah in Katamon? So it all depends on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, correct? Anybody know what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is famous for in this context? Some of the new. Have you ever heard of it? Some of the new. I taught in the yeshiva in the Maser Tzion for 18 years. And the status of Maser Tzion is very complicated. It's really not some, but it might be near because Maser is very high up. So that's all depend upon how you read this next Gemara, which is a sugya, not a gimel, but the Gemara is quoting it here on that page. Ella, Rol, Drasha, Huliasa, the extra pasuk of Medina, Ir, is coming for a Drasha. Kid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Huliasa, the Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Krach, Vechol, Hasamachlo, Vechol, Hanirolo. This is a ribui, which again has nothing to do with what day of the week we should be reading the Megillah in terms of classifying cities and so forth, but has to do with how to define an ir mukefes choma. Right? Because an ir mukefes choma is a large city. What about cities that sort of border on that large city? So the choma only reaches a certain point, and now you have cities that are, you know, it's like the, what is it, Saturn, which is the planet that has a lot of, a ring of orbits, of planets around, the smaller planets, right? All galaxies fit this description. But there are many cities that surround this crop. And now the question is, can we define them as an extension of the crop? And they have the same din of Mukefes Choma as the crop? Or no, they have the din of a prosim. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says that there are the following two possible extensions to the crowd. One is called Samuklo, and the Gemara is about to analyze what Samuklo means. It means it's in close proximity. And then he says, even if it's Nira Imo, okay? And again, we're going to have to see the Sugya Daf Gimel, but most of the Rishonim learn that if it's Nira, even though it's not Samuch, so basically Rabbi Shimon Levi is giving you one of two possible conditions that would set up a city that's outside the wall, as if it was inside the wall, that's the same size for the 15. One criterion is to be Samuch Lo. And that's what the Gemara asks, how close is considered Samuch Lo? Rabbi Yirmiyahu Vitamer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Kith Mechamson to Tveria, from Chamson, a city in the north, to Tveria. How much is that? Meal. It's one meal. Let's say one meal would be 18 minutes walk or something like that, correct? So 5,000 Abba, whatever it is, we'll have to go into the details of what constitutes a meal. For this, you have to learn a parak called Bamem Adlikin and Shabbos. In any event, that's called Samuch. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't say anything about Nira. So this is going to be a tremendous ambiguous issue in the poskim. What constitutes Nira? Well, let's assume that Nira means that you can stand on a hilltop of one city and see another city. Now again, does it have to be nearer from the krach to the city that's outside the chomo, or the other way around? That the krach itself is nearer from that city. And that also be nafkamis, because the krach could be in a valley, or the krach could be in a hill, and the city is high, it's low. But basically, what's happening here is that we're assuming a halacha like Rav Shuvan Levi, which is called Samuch Vinir. So the Gemara asked Velema Meal, why did Rabbi Yirmiyah have to tell me about Chamsul and Tver? Why did he just say a meal? Why do you have to illustrate it with Chamsul and Tver? Kamash Malon, the Shi'ur, the meal Kamahavi, Kimi Chamsul and Tver. It seems that even back in the day of the Gemara itself didn't know what a meal was. And the answer is, how far is it from Chamson Litveri? And here we have long, long footnotes about this Gemara. I don't know if you have footnotes also. I have pages and pages of footnotes. I just want to conclude, and I know we're going over time here, but just for a second, I want to show you something that I found. He says that the Ramban might have given us an insight to explain the Havamina. You remember Rabosa yesterday with the Havamina, that the mitzvah of Megillah is only given to the cities that are present, and the Mukafim klal klal lo. Do you remember that Gemara? And the Gemara rejects it because the Mukafim were also Yehudim and Mechahod Van Kush. So the Ramban says that in the first year when the Nes took place, he says, Chagugu Rak HaProzim, this is mind-boggling, the only cities that were included in the celebration in that first Purim were the open cities. Ve'ilu HaMukafim Lo Chagugu. Those who were in walled cities did not participate in the celebration. L'fish Lo Hayu B'Klal Sakana Kol Kach. Sakana didn't affect Jewish cities. Again, you have to know exactly where these Jewish cities are located, but be that as it may, if these Jewish cities were walled, they didn't celebrate Purim. And as we said very often, that the way Purim was organized was an extension of the original celebration. So the Mukafim weren't included in the original celebration. Hence the Havamina that if not the Odom Kush, we would have excluded the entire enterprise of Purim as far as the Mukafim is concerned, because they did not celebrate. Now, this is going to lead us to another discussion. Gemara has a Havamina that the Mukafim should celebrate Purim on the 13th. And we were racking our brains. The Megillah only says 14th and 15th. What's this Havamina? And then Gemara comes up Kishushan with the equation to Shushan. But what was the Havamina that did? So this is all an extension of this paragraph that we just learned based on the Ramban, that if the Mukafim did not celebrate the original Purim, then it could be that we have to find a whole new mode or venue for their celebration of Purim. And the Gemara thinks that Yud Gimel is a perfect venue for a celebration of Purim, insofar as that was the day when all of Klal Yisrael, so forget about the Prozim and those who were in small villages, etc., they all got together on the Yom Kehilul Akol. And therefore the 13th would be a great candidate for the Mukafim. That's only if you assume that the Mukafim did not celebrate the original prayer.